The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Oh, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. It's the Friday night freak show. Let's do this thing. As the National Basketball Association playoffs start to get intense, street ball style, the Los Angeles Clippers step up and in and punch the Dallas Mavericks in the mouth, literally and figuratively, and escape with an 8-point victory in a game that really wasn't as close as the final score might have indicated. Luka Doncic goes down with a sprained ankle, and for one reason or another is brought back into the basketball game. You have to wonder about Luka Doncic's health moving forward, but with or without Luka right now, this series is game, set, match, over. All right, the Los Angeles Clippers are like battle-tested. The Clippers are like coming from the streets, and basically the Mavericks are coming from the country club. And the Mavericks are going to have to toughen up moving forward. They're done as far as this series is concerned. They're going to have to toughen up moving forward in the coming years. Ton of talent on that basketball team. This is a lesson in playoff basketball that the Clippers are giving them. The Toronto Raptors are cruising. Not that anybody's noticing, but they are up 3-0 right now on the Brooklyn Nets. The Raptors, despite the fact that they're defending NBA champions, are being forced to play all these early morning games in the bubble because they're playing against Brooklyn, and rightfully so. I get it. You're not going to put a Toronto Raptor Brooklyn Net game on primetime television. 117-92 final score. Toronto and Boston looks like they're on a collision course right now. We'll bang and we'll crash the boards like the Utah Jazz throttled the Denver Nuggets. We're starting to see a little separation in the bubble right now with these playoff series as the Utah Jazz are lethal. Mike Conley comes back, added offense to an already dangerous offense, and the Utah Jazz are in business. Meanwhile, Brett Brown will be looking for a new job in a matter of days. The Friday Night Freak Show, Big Man on Campus will step up and in. From Philadelphia, Mick Ossie's got some AFL picks for the late night degenerate gamblers here this evening as well. National Hockey League playoffs. The Vancouver Canucks throttling their way through the National Hockey League playoffs. The Philadelphia Flyers escape and escaping their way through the playoffs. Sports Rage late night. Vic or Rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night. Continues. I'm Gabe Morenci. Fed your rage. 844-843-6879. We'll crash and bang the pipelines a little bit later on as the Philadelphia Flyers advance in the National Hockey League playoffs this evening. It's all about elimination games right now. As seems like just yesterday that these bubbles and these hubs were created, but we're already on into the second round right now in the National Hockey League. They're cruising. And no game sevens. Usually there's a bunch of game sevens, but sort of as expected, life is different in the bubble. And when teams are down, it's a little bit different. Like, you know, when you're at home and you don't want the season to end. Right now, if you think about it, like teams that are in the bubble right now have been in the bubble for a long time. Like basically like the Brooklyn Nets have been in this bubble for a while now. Like, basically, I think they got there on, like, what? Like, July 10th or so? You know, like, it's basically, like, 53-plus days, even for, like, the teams that got eliminated right away that didn't even move forward. Like, time goes by fast, and, like, time has gone by fast in this bubble right now. And we're already on into the second round right now in the National Hockey League playoffs. So we'll talk about the second round matchups a little bit. We threw a Twitter poll question out there. You can follow me on Twitter, at Sports Rage on Twitter. Who's going to win between the Philadelphia Flyers and the New York Islanders? I'll tell you what, the Flyers survived and escaped. They did beat the Montreal Canadiens, but we're talking about a 12 seed versus a 1 seed, and those games were as close as you can get. And really, to be honest, the Montreal Canadiens were the better team than the Philadelphia Flyers were, but for whatever reason, the hockey gods just were not on their side. I don't know if I've ever seen a team hit as many crossbars, goalposts, and everything else in between in a six-game series as the Montreal Canadiens that did. But hey, no excuses. The Philadelphia Flyers, they scored when they had to, the Flyers. You got to give them credit for making the plays when the Flyers really didn't make a lot of plays at all. Like they were kind of inept, to be honest. They scored 11 goals in the entire series. Okay. Their power play blows, but they did what good teams do. They scored it opportunistic. They took care of their business and they did what they had to do. So we'll give credit to the Philadelphia Flyers. Although I think they're in trouble moving forward. I'm not so sure the Islanders are the team that have what it takes to knock them off, though. So we'll get into that. The Vancouver Canucks are an exciting hockey club right now. So the Los Angeles Clippers are getting on track. Kawhi Leonard's doing his thing. You know, Kawhi Leonard's now played in like 27 playoff games that Kawhi Leonard's played in. He scored 30 or more points in 17 of them. All right, like Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the NBA. He's the most consistent player in the NBA. Yet the Los Angeles Clippers are a very, very easy team to dislike. Like, they really are. Like, you know, Kawhi Leonard is a likable guy, all right? Kawhi Leonard is a nice guy, likable enough guy. Well, I don't know how nice he is. He never really talks. And people just sort of assume people that don't talk are nice, but whatever. You know, Kawhi isn't unlikable. And I say this as a Toronto Raptor fan, and he left Toronto. And even I don't, like, dislike him, all right? So Kawhi Leonard's not unlikable. But Paul George, very unlikable. Like, Paul George thinks he's Michael Jordan. Like, really, bro? Like, you're not even Scottie Pippen. Like, let's be real. Like, Paul, and the thing is, like, I don't call people out for missing shots and having bad statistical games, but the fact of the matter is, like, Paul George talking smack to Dame Lillard, like, really, bro? Like really? Dame Lillard carries teams. You bolt from teams. So let's be real here about Paul George. And what really left the worst taste in my mouth, about tonight's basketball game, not the fact that I lost with the Dallas Mavericks at +5, although we did crush the over in the in-game over as well, is Montrezl Harrell, who's another very unlikable person. And Montrezl Harrell, I mean, I don't know. I'm surprised, you know, he's able to stay in the bubble for more than 48 hours. So we'll give him credit for that. But Montrezl Harrell scored a basket earlier in the game, and then calls and says to Luka Doncic, punk-ass white boy, bitch-ass white boy, and there's another word that we can't say that rhymes with wussy, white boy. So in any context that you want to take it, Montrezl Harrell goes racial with Luka Doncic, and I got to love the irony of the NBA all about the message. Remember some of them? Oh, we're not going to play because of the message. The only messages you guys have ever cared about are the bimbos that you bang and that you meet on Instagram. All right? Don't give me any of this message crap. Like, seriously. George Floyd gets murdered by the police in Minnesota, and suddenly every player in the NBA is Nelson Mandela, right? Every player in the NBA is Nelson Mandela. I got to love the irony. I love the irony of Luka Doncic sitting there injured at the end of the game wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. Meanwhile, Harrell's calling him a bitch-ass punk white boy. So I guess, like, you know, equality matters to the NBA and their players when it's convenient to them. As we stated, like, you know, you're just giving ammunition to the Clay Travises of the world. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. And you know what? I always get angry when I hear those tool bags. I always get angry when I hear, oh, you know, I'm turned off of sports, and you know, they're disgracing the flag and all that stuff with their protests. And I'm like, no, they're not. No, they're not. But after a while, like, you understand why, and you see why, and you can't deny that there's a major double standard all the time. You know, like, you know, it's all about equality, but Luka Doncic, you can call Luka Doncic a punk-ass white boy, right? Like, let's be real. And I hate saying, and I hate being that guy, but imagine if the roles were reversed. Let's just be real. All right? If any white guy ever said anything racial, and it was caught like the way that it was caught tonight, let's be real. He'd be booted from the bubble and probably suspended from the league, like, for years, if not banned for life. He just wouldn't be welcome back. Yet, nobody really bats an eyelash. Yeah, nobody really ever bats an eyelash. Like I said, you know, we can sort of swallow the hypocrisy of the China stuff, in which, you know, LeBron James at the time said, why do you have to ask me about politics? I don't have to have an opinion on everything. Yet, you know, LeBron James now demands the NFL apologize to Colin Kaepernick. Like, LeBron now, you know, wants to run other leagues that he's not even in now. LeBron has an opinion on everything, but, you know, same with the TNT crew. TNT crew have an opinion on everything, but so I don't know if the NBA is just going to pretend that this didn't happen this evening, but it's insulting. It's insulting. Like, there should be zero tolerance of this stuff on any side from any manner, but Let's just be real, though. Like, it's all a pile of crap. Their message is a pile of crap. And I'm not saying that every player in the NBA is disgenuine, but the reality of the situation is a lot of players like Montrezl Harrell, like, they hate the fans. They hate everybody. Yet it's supposed to be this big kumbaya moment and stuff like that. And I tell you what, like, you know what? They can roll out their nice little pre-packaged video montages before the game, and they show Martin Luther King, and they show other iconic figures. Yet I guarantee Martin Luther King wasn't calling people bitch ass white boys, right? So, you know, you pretty much, you know, kill the entire message, Montrezl Harrell, with that smack talk. I don't even mind. You want to call him a punk? You want to call him a bitch? You want to call him soft ass? You call him all that, but whatever, bro. But, you know, we're supposed to buy in now, right? Oh, yeah, we're supposed to buy in with your mess. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci. Friday Night Freak Show. I thought I'd come into the show and just be in a good mood. Friday night, we'll just have some laughs and stuff, but I guess it's going to be one of these rage-fueled nights tonight. So as we were just discussing, the Los Angeles Clippers victorious over the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know how the Mavericks nearly covered this game, actually, but really, it really wasn't as close as the final score sort of looked. The game does sail over the number, yet I'm actually literally and figuratively, I'm actually like really bothered by the Harrell type, the Harrell situation. I really am. And, you know, normally, like I said, I'm not soft. I live in the real world. I don't talk like Leave It to Beaver in the real world either. But it's just, it's angering to me that it's being swept under the carpet in the fashion that it is. And the level of hypocrisy is just, it's just comical. As I stated, it's just comical. You guys have like, you know, equality on the back of your jerseys, but you know, you say bitch ass white boy, like, you know, on the court. And, you know, you see, you, and as I stated, I hate being that person. All if the roles were reversed and stuff. But this is, you know, this is why the Clay Travises of the world make money, because of stuff like this. And he'll be, oh, you see, they don't care. They don't care at all. Right? They don't care. You know, you're white, and they don't care about you as a customer. But, it, you know, you see Tom Brenneman. Tom Brenneman, you know, uses a slur against homosexual people and rightfully is taken off the air immediately. Mike Milbury talks about women being a distraction for hockey players and people flip out. Montrezl Harrell calls someone a bitch-ass white boy. Eh, whatever. It's not even trending on Twitter. You know, and it's just, it's the, and to see Doncic sitting there with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on after, it's like, really? Like, really? Like, this is what it is. This is what it's about. Like I said, the Clippers are a bunch of punks, all right? They really are. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you got Kawhi Leonard, and other than that, you just have a bunch of mouths that have never won or accomplished anything before. Paul George walks and talks like he thinks he's one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA. Guy's like 4-for-27 in the series or something like that. All right? Montrezl Harrell's a moron. You know, Lou Williams is so stupid, he went to a strip club, like, you know, after a funeral. You know, we can go down the list here. Like, the only class acts on that team are Kawhi and Doc Rivers. Yet, you know, the NBA, I hate to tell you this, the NBA, but, you know, a lot of your fans are white, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, if it matters to you at all. But I guess, you know, you'll just hope, well, no one noticed, and, oh, it's only on the internet, and, you know, it's all good, right? But it just angers me. It's a pile of crap. Like I said, you want to call him soft, you want to call him a bitch, you want to call him soft punk, whatever, all fair. All fair. All fair. But you start bringing race into it and stuff, and, you know, like, really? And like I said, unless the NBA does, and this is why they were worried about, like, no fans, because of stuff like this. And a lot of stuff is said like this, all right? But, like, if the NBA doesn't do anything about this and they just want to pretend that it didn't happen, then they're even more hypocritical than we already know they are. Big Man on Campus steps up. And what's up, Big Man on Campus?
Doing well, Gabe. How are you?
We're doing all right, Big Man. And, you know me. And I brought this up earlier. I hate that crowd. And I hate sort of being on this side. You know what I mean? The Will Cain side of things. And that, you know, all the anthem. And, oh, I'm not buying a pair of Nikes again. And, oh, you know, I'm not watching the NBA because of, you know. And I hate those people. I really do. But at the same point in time, this is what feeds them, Big Man, and stuff. Like, really, like, you know, Harrell can't say this. Like, you can't say that, Big Man. You know what I mean? You follow basketball a long time. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of smack talk. Listen, I played in the NBA Hoop It Up, you know, street tournament 3 years in a row, man. And there was a lot of type of stuff said. Never that line. You know what I mean? Like, nothing. No one ever went to that road, you know, sort of. But I just find it the level of hypocrisy when their entire stupid message in this bubble is about, like, equality and about loving each other and stuff. And they're just going to let this go. Then, you know, their message means jack squat to me, Big Man.
Yeah. And the thing was, I mean, Harrell flopped. I mean, it was pretty clear. And then Harrell gets up and tries to act tough because, you know, Luka just looked at him. I don't think Luka did anything wrong. I mean, it's not like he stepped over him and, like, kicked him or something. He didn't do anything. I mean, Montrez was way out of line. The phrase that he said was pathetic. And you're right. It really devalues the message that you're trying to convey. And look, Gabe, you know where this is going to lead. You know people like Clay Travis are going to lead it to the, if this was the other way around, what would have happened? You know they're going to
exactly.
Do that. And, you know, it's really just, it's lame. Montrezl Harrell has really turned in. And I think you made a great point a little earlier where you said that this team's really unlikable. Like, outside of Kawhi Leonard.
Aren't they, Big Man? Like, really?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Like, each and every one of them. They just all talk and talk and talk and talk. You never accomplish anything, yet they all talk all the time.
The thing is, like, Kawhi, I think, is he just doesn't say anything. But the one guy I do respect in that team, though, because I think he'll beat your ass if he really needed to, and he's tough and you just don't mess with him, is Marcus Morris. He's the only one I really respect.
I agree.
Outside of
and I'll
outside
tell you what,
of him,
babe,
like,
he's backing it up with his play. Marcus Morris has been damn good.
Oh, he's
in
playing
this
really well.
In this, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, he's really
I said in this tournament. It feels like a tournament. I said he's been damn good in this tournament. But no, he's been, like, you know, he really is. Like, listen, Morris did his job. He got Porzingis kicked out of game one. He's been the best guy besides Kawhi as far as stepping up and hitting big shots. And how about Landry Shamet, too? Wichita State, you got to give this kid credit. Big time shots that this kid hits. But it's just like, the Clippers, listen, they have some arrogance. They have a swagger. I respect all that. I get it. And one thing as well, I don't have a problem with it in that Dallas are soft, all right? And the Clippers sense this. They can tell. Like, they're like, you know what? We're pushing them around. They're not doing anything. Now we're trash-talking them. They're not really doing anything. And, you know, you can sense it. Dallas need to fight back a bit. And not doesn't mean get kicked out of the game like Porzingis did in game one, but you know, they need to punch back and fight back a bit. And they just don't have it in them. They're just a little bit too country clubbish. Yet, dude, they're young in this progression, right? So I'm not hating on the Dallas Mavericks. They're getting a rough lesson here from some real men in the Los Angeles Clippers, but the Clippers are a very unlikable bunch, bro. And to me, also, I just want the last thing about Harrell. To me, and I don't know if Doc Rivers probably didn't see it, or maybe I don't know if he didn't hear it or whatever. All right, it's not like these guys are sitting on Twitter looking at GIFs like we are in the middle of the game. But that's where Doc Rivers got to pull the player. Like, you know, you got to do it yourself. You got to say, yo, bro, like, you can't say that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sitting you down. And then you apologize after the game. You control the narrative. You say after, listen, we sat him down. I don't agree with what he said at all. We're embarrassed by that. And you know what? We're finding him. All right, we're going to find him ourselves. Like, you know, you sort of handle it instead of, oh, what was said? Because as you stated, I guarantee you, dude, Clay Travis got an hour podcast coming up on this, a big man, about if the roles were reversed right now.
Oh, he definitely will. And, you know, you look at Montrezl Harrell and, you know, look, I've always liked Lou Williams as a player, but he's kind of a punk as well. And, you know, you look at Harrell, same way. I mean, Paul George, I mean, when are we going to talk about this guy? This guy is a failure in the playoffs. I mean, 17 for 55 from two, 7 for 29 from three. I mean, he's been terrible. And then you look at a guy like Morris, who has had double figures in each game. He's 8 for 14 from three. I mean, Marcus Morris has shot better from three by a wide margin than Paul George. And he's taken 15 less shots. It's fascinating. Yeah, they're lucky that Luka got injured. I don't know that it would have mattered in this game just because they were pretty much controlling throughout. But the Clippers need a fix defensively. They are not good defensively at all. And I don't think they're going to get Patrick Beverley back. And who knows when they're going to get him back. Without him, Gabe, they are just not very good defensively. I mean, they've been shredded on really – and we've really yet to see the Mavs play an elite offensive game. I still think there's a game that they'll be better than they were the last three games offensively. They need to fix their defense because the Clippers are not a championship-caliber defense right now. They're really bad.
Yeah, and I don't understand it either. And Chris Webber, who I actually don't mind, maybe because I'm a Michigan fan, but Chris Webber brought up a good point about the Clippers defense, and he brought up what you did. He goes, you know, everyone's talking about a great defense the Clippers have, but he goes, they're not playing great defense right now. And he said, I don't know if it's because Beverly's not there. I don't know if it's because they're not buying in or it's a lack of effort, but it's not there defensively. The question is, who could do anything about it, right? And it looks like the Clippers mentality is going to be to bully their way through to the finals, right?
Well, like
everyone gets an identity. That's going to be their identity. They're going to try to bully you with Kawhi, with Harrell, with Morris. And that I think that's going to be their strategy.
Yeah, I think, you know, sadly, though, you really don't have anywhere to go in this series defensively because, you know, you look at Patrick Beverley. I mean, he's a guy that's going to eat up a lot of minutes, I mean, each game. This guy plays, you know, 30 minutes a game. And, you know, you don't have him. Reggie Jackson's a terrible defender. Lou Williams has never played defense. And you're not going to put Kawhi on him because he's got to extend so much energy where you need him on the offensive end. So, yeah, I think these games are going to continue to be high scoring. I would continue to bet the over in these games.
All right. So we'll move on from the Clippers and the Mavericks. We'll get some rage from Big Man on Campus as far as the Philadelphia 76ers are concerned. Sixers one game away from elimination. Meanwhile, Brett Brown's probably one game away from being fired in the city of anything but brotherly love. NBA and more. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Friday Night Pre-Show continues. I am Renzi. Vent your rage. This is Sports Rage Late Night. 844-843. We'll hit the pipelines a little bit later on. 6879. 844-843-6879. We'll bang the pipelines a little bit later on. Big man on campus joining us from Philadelphia right now. The Clippers escape. 8-point win, although I'm telling you, the game wasn't as close as that final score looked, big man. The Philadelphia 76ers today battled hard, and a rough beat for people that had the Sixers today. They were in the game all day long, and it ends up getting away from them late. They're now down 3 games to none. You didn't expect this is pretty much what you predicted. I thought maybe that the Sixers would have a puncher's chance, and they have. They've hung around in these games, but they just can't get it done in crunch time late. Joel Embiid turns the ball over. You know, it looks like, you know, today was like, wow, all right, man, they take the lead. And then Joel Embiid turns the ball over on 2 consecutive trips down the floor, and then that was game, set, match, one win away from being eliminated. But you've been a big Brett Brown critic for years, and I'm, as a betting man, I'd say that it's like -5,000 that he's going to get fired after the fact. But I don't think it's just him. Like, if you look at the entire roster and the philosophy of the organization, from the general manager to the coach, like, this team needs a workover here, big man.
Yeah, I mean, remarkable ineptitude has brought them to this point. They've hit rock bottom. This is rock bottom, and they're going to get swept. And they have to take a long, hard look at the failures over the last 10 years and what exactly they've achieved. Because I'm not even kidding, Gabe. This is like a true statement right now. I'm not even trying to go overblow here, but like, maybe this is overblown, but I'm not sure there's a bigger sleeper candidate for worst team run in sports. I mean, this is a truly horrifically bad organization. Like, they have completely failed the fans. They've done nothing correctly. Every player that comes here has just this weird way of forgetting how to play basketball, or they get injured. They fired Sam Hinkie, and ever since then, it's been a complete and utter mess. They needed to get swept. So now you can light this team on fire and get rid of everyone. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. If I were the Sixers, I would trade Joel Embiid. I'm sick of the antics. I'm tired of this guy. 4 years is enough. I'm sick of the nonsense every time the playoffs come. This team was not ever built to win in the playoffs, and if you thought they would, you're nuts. They move on from Jimmy Butler. They move on from J.J. Redick, only to bring in 2 of the worst contracts in the history of this team with a big and a guard that you drafted first, 2 different years that can't play together, with no one to shoot around them, and no one to get a bucket. They didn't win tonight because they had no one to score the basketball. I don't know if you know this, Gabe, but in basketball, you have to score to win. They were outscored 10-0 over the final 2 minutes. This is rock bottom. This needed to happen. What you need to do now, Gabe, is 2 things. You need to go to Jay Wright, offer him $50 million over 5 years. He would make more than double what he makes now, and you need to trade Joel Embiid to the Golden State Warriors for Klay Thompson and the 2nd overall pick. Go out and get a free agent or 2. The problem is now you're so deep in contract mess now, who the hell is going to be able to come here? This is rock bottom. Ineptitude has brought us here, and this organization is horrifically ran.
Jay Wright does feel Jay Wright almost feels like he could be that savior for the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, it almost does, doesn't it? You know, especially now with the future of college sports and college basketball, sure, and the G League development now, if you're Jay Wright, you have
to think about it.
Yeah, you can live in the same house. You're right. And you'd also have a little bit of you get a little leeway to build the program your way, too, from people in the city, because they know they would buy into your program, right? They would trust you. Yep. I couldn't help but think, too, you know, and there's Trey Burke tonight. And as they mentioned, Philadelphia waved him, right? And there's Trey Burke lighting it up
for the Dallas Mavericks. It's the whole league.
They waved him.
Robert Covington's turned into a solid player to Houston. I mean, you look at around the league. I mean, it's. I mean, they could use a Dario Saric right now.
You used to rip Covington all the time, but you're right. I'll give you. You used to rip him all the time, but I'll give you this. There is something about how players seem to play better when they're not in Philadelphia, don't they?
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. I mean, like look at Landry Shamet. Look at Boban Marjanovic. You got rid of both those guys for a guy that did absolutely nothing over these first three games. I mean, Gabe, Al Horford, you gave him $110 million. Al Horford has been – he should be arrested when he gets back to Philadelphia for grand larceny, armed robbery.
Horford's the type of guy, everything. Bro. Yeah, you give a two-year deal to $50 million, 2 years type thing. You don't commit like long term. You're right. And to me, and we haven't even gotten to Brett Brown yet, but to me, it's the decisions and the roster and the decisions that they make. It's baffling. As you stated, they had no interest in re-signing Jimmy Butler. Like, Jimmy Butler didn't run away from Philadelphia. They never really made a concrete offer. They made a decision, we'll keep Tobias Harris instead. And then they bring in Al Horford for all that money. As you stated, you couldn't trade that contract even if you wanted to right now. And, you know, not to mention Joel Embiid's personality, Ben Simmons' aloofness. The whole thing's a mess. Yeah. Like, I don't even know where to start. It's like you said, like, it's like almost like walking into a house after a frat party. It's like, I don't know, man, like the backyard's trash, the living room's trash. You know, you go upstairs.
What do we do?
Yeah, like it's a mess everywhere.
No, Gabe, it's like when you get a condemned house that's like falling in, you basically say, you know what? Let's just knock this thing down and start over. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it is the ineptitude of this organization is, and it's not really talked about. Like, Gabe, why does every person this team draft come here and just forgets how to play basketball? I mean, Markelle Fultz, I mean, Danny Ainge should go to jail for absolutely highway robbery that he was able to get not only Jason Tatum, but he fleeced another first-round pick. Markelle Fultz doesn't even play here anymore. Do you know who the Sixers drafted last year, Gabe? Mikal Bridges. They traded him for Zaire Smith. Zaire Smith hasn't played a minute in this town. Ben Simmons didn't play his first year. Joel Embiid didn't play his first year. What is going on in this town medical-wise? Why doesn't this team draft players in the second round? Teams are built through the second round and in undrafted players. Look at the Miami Heat. They've been built because their scouting is the best in the league, and they get players to come in and do things. Look at the Dallas Mavericks. Dorian Finney-Smith, Max Kleber. Look at these guys. These are guys that they just went out and scouted. I mean, it's fascinating that this team is so inept at literally everything they do. And as a fan, it is sickening. I've watched this team since I was a kid. I love Allen Iverson. I've loved everything about this team. I'm a basketball junkie. But watching this team, I physically root against them. It's sickening because I've had it with everything about them. Get rid of Brett Brown and start the hell over. Make something happen. Go get Jay Wright. He would be perfect for this team. He loves these young players. This team's young as it is. Go out and blow it up as far as you got to get rid of one of these superstars. You got to get a bench. You got to draft better. You actually have to make picks in the second round. They should put me in charge, Gabe, because they'd be a playoff team and they'd win playoff games within a year if I was in control of this team. It's truly fascinating that I'm better. They need to get rid of Elton Brand, too. Cut him loose as well. He put us in this position with these stupid signings like Al Horford.
Yeah, Elton Brand is a problem as well. It's amazing, too. You look at the Philadelphia 76ers. They were that Kawhi Leonard shot away, basically, from going to overtime against the eventual champion, Toronto Raptors. And here they are right now. A lot of question marks. And even with a replacement coach, I don't know. It's the roster. And one thing, too, we'll move on from the Sixers here. But one thing about the Sixers, it's a good point. There's certain franchises like that. The Toronto Maple Leafs are like that. The Toronto Maple Leafs, where players will struggle in Toronto and they'll leave and suddenly they're good elsewhere. It's like one of those bizarro world type of things. But every player that leaves Philadelphia says the same thing. Oh, yeah, the chemistry's awful in that room. And it's a weird room. Like everybody says the same thing. And what did Jimmy Butler say this past offseason? He said those guys, they're good players, but they just don't want it enough. And he was being real. He was on a podcast with another NBA player. And he goes, they're not bad guys. He was talking about, like, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben. He goes, I got along with them. They're not bad guys. He goes, they just don't really seem to want it, like, enough. And they don't really understand, like, what it takes. And then, you know, you got Tobias Harris, who this year did an interview and said, yeah, we've got a lot of chemistry issues in the room. Like, so what are the issues? It's the same story every damn year, right? And you see them play.
But the thing is,
it's like there's five individual guys on the court even today, big man. It's not like they're a team.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, they're just five dudes there.
Yeah.
Like, big man, you and I watched the basketball tournament of those guys that played for $1 million that on ESPN, the basketball tournament. Those guys have more team cohesiveness than the Sixers do, bro.
And they just started playing together. You could literally go to the local. I could go down in South Philly to one of the local CYO games, and they have better construction chemistry than the Sixers do. It's fascinating, bro. Like, look at another thing, Gabe. You know Nikola Vucevic. You know
they don't even help each other up,
right?
Sorry. I was gonna say it's like when they get fouled, they don't like. No one helps each other up. Everyone just turns around and walks away.
They hate each other.
Like, you can tell they don't like each other.
I mean, just look at this. I mean, Nikola Vucevic, a guy they drafted. You know who they traded him for, Gabe?
Wow, another guy. He's great now.
You know how many games Andrew Bynum played here? None. Zero. And Nikola Vucevic, he's a star in this league. I mean, think about him next to Embiid. I mean, come on. I mean, it's unbelievable, the ineptness of this team. When am I going to escape this? And like you just said, there's so many problems. The chemistry sucks. The roster's horribly constructed. The coach sucks. The GM sucks. The medical team's terrible. There's no heart. There's no passion. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's truly one of the worst run organizations. And the owner has no spine. It's truly a dark horse for worst run organization in sports. There needs to be a documentary done as to why these players.
Who owns it?
Is it the young dudes?
The Fanatic guys, right? The merch guys?
Josh Harris owns the team. That dope. Josh Harris. He owns. You would know him if you've seen him. But yeah, the Michael Rubin's involved too, the Fanatic guy. He has like a stake as well. But Josh Harris makes the you know, he's the puppet guy. He runs everything. But it's just, I miss the days of when I was a kid when they didn't have great teams, but they just had heart and they had guys that played hard and you had guys like Iverson and Aaron McKee. They're hateable. It's just brutal.
That's the thing about Philly too. Like, you're right. Like, you got to play hard. You know what I mean? That's the thing the Sixers don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Sixers don't. But you know who does? The Toronto Raptors. And you bring up Iverson and, you know, Kyle Lowry, man, the same way, the way he slashes to the basket, takes charges, you know, always on his back after playing tough. You know, he's got that Philly toughness in him for the Toronto Raptors. People aren't talking about the Raptors because, you know, they're playing early games. It's boring, but they're handling their business. They're up 3-0 there. And they're going to beat Boston, bro. I'm going to bet big on that series. Like, Boston won't be able to compete. Boston can't rebound. Boston cannot rebound. Boston are another overrated team, big man. We'll get into tomorrow's games.
Yeah, they are.
Speaking of overrated, I knew Sevilla was going to win today. Sports Rage Late Night. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Portrays Late Night continues. Shout out to our crew of one in Midtown Manhattan, getting it done. Yang, getting it done on this Friday night. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, and of course, shout out to the mightier 1090, San Diego, SoCal. What's up? We'll get into the Laker game in level two. Big man on campus, kicking with us right now on the Friday night free show. Great Philadelphia 76ers rant right there, but it's not all bad. In Philadelphia, as the Philadelphia Flyers advance into the quarterfinal round of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight with a 3-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens. A hard-fought series, some lost teeth, couple of broken jaw, a couple of lost teeth, a lot of blood, but no hard feelings after the fact. That's the great thing about hockey. They shook hands. And you know what's interesting, actually, in the pandemic, they weren't supposed to shake hands, but they actually did after, out of a sign of respect today. In hockey, that's the thing, big man. You know, you can smash someone in the face with a piece of wood, but after you'll shake their hand after the game. And look, I even tweeted the Philadelphia Flyers myself. The Flyers tweeted the Canadians after. Congratulations, great series. You know, that's a thing in hockey. And even as a fan, you know, showing the class that, you know, that they did, I sent the Flyers a tweet. I said, classy tweet, best of luck moving forward. I said, you broke our jaw, but no hard feelings. That's what I said in the tweet. I said, you broke one of our jaws, but no hard feelings. That's hockey. So it was a hard-fought series. I'll tell you what, though. I think the Flyers, big man, can beat the New York Islanders. I'm not saying they will beat them. I think they can. But the Flyers party ends soon. They're not great. Like, the Flyers are a one seed. The Canadians were the 12 seed. The Canadians were like the lowest seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and they were the better team. They just, you know, had horrible luck, and Philly advances. But the thing is, the Islanders aren't great either, right? So Philly can win again and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then, hey, anything can happen. All right, when you get to the Lakers and the Blazers, can the Blazers bounce back? Dame Lillard's good. The dislocated finger's not in his key shooting hand. It's in his left hand, and it's all right. Doesn't affect his shot all that much. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Vent your rage.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.